Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Offsides with Mark and Lonzo right here. Hour number two, ESPN Upstate, and away we go. Breaking news abounds on this Monday edition of the show. Lonzo is on top of it. Lonzo, we might have to start doing like a breaking news update at like 1:30 and 2:30 every day, I'm thinking about. Maybe that would be good, where we put, you know, any breaking news in there, any news going on over the course of the show, we kind of put it in there, something to consider. Kyler Murray is going to the NFL. He's going to stop playing baseball, and football fans around the country are rejoicing. Hallelujah to that. He was on a very short list of athletes that would get me to stop doing whatever I'm doing at any time to watch him play. Pat Mahomes is on that list as well. The Greek freak Giannis Antetokounmpo is on that list, as is Joel Embiid. But anytime Kyler Murray was on the field on TV, I had to watch. He is so exciting to play. And I think we would have been robbed as sports fans if he was an anonymous minor leaguer for the A's, toiling in wherever the hell the Oakland A's play minor league baseball the first few years of his career. The Panthers have re-upped Eric Reed for 3 years, a three-year deal. He became a starter for them last season after his absence from the NFL for being involved in the kneeling for the national anthem. I applaud anyone who's willing to stick their neck out and take criticism. Even though I don't agree with the action, I don't agree with kneeling for the national anthem. That's my point. That's my take. It's not something I would do. I believe you stand for the national anthem. I respect his right to do so, right? I also feel like if his play deserves for him to have a shot and be on an NFL roster, it's collusion if you don't have him on an NFL roster, even if you don't agree with his actions. That particular action, which hurts nobody, right? And so the Panthers, I give them all the credit in the world for giving Eric Reed a chance to prove himself, and he proved himself by becoming a starter, by having 71 tackles on the team this year, and now he's back with a three-year deal for the Carolina Panthers. I am incredibly happy to hear that. And then most recently, you heard it before the break, Kareem Hunt has signed with the Cleveland Browns. I was kind of hoping the Houston Texans would be in on that action, but no such luck. Kareem Hunt goes to the Browns. I wonder what that means for Nick Chubb with the Cleveland Browns moving forward. He had become kind of entrenched as their starter. And look, in the NFL, everybody wants to have two good backs. Kareem Hunt is one of the top three running backs in the NFL, so did Cleveland do the right thing by signing Kareem Hunt, given the fact that he was charged with domestic abuse from a video that was released out of a hotel? Okay, and we all saw the video, and the video didn't look good. I don't know if my take on this is controversial, but here's what I can tell you. Okay. Most recently, I was a high school teacher in Houston, Texas. I was a part-time host in Houston. I was a full-time high school teacher. And every once in a while, there would be an athlete on the team or something that would get in trouble for hitting his girlfriend. And what the long-term research shows is that the outcome for the violators is significantly worse long-term if you banish them from what they love for life, right? If you banish them. Now, are some offenses worthy of permanent banishment? Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? Some offenses are too heinous to ever play in the league again. But, if it's something that somebody can learn from and become a better person, and maybe, you know, this person didn't have the best influences growing up, maybe there was hitting that went on in his home, and then when he doesn't know how to manage his anger, and when that comes out, I'm not, in no way, shape, or form would I ever hit a woman ever, right? And I do believe that if an employee of mine was found to be guilty of domestic abuse, they're out of my company, they're off my team. But given the fact, if that person rehabilitated themselves, I would applaud somebody else giving them a chance in the future, right? If that person had shown true contrition for their actions, if they had received counseling, again, the long-term outcome for young people is better when they are given a second chance than when they lose what they love forever, right? What would make Kareem Hunt more likely to have this type of offense again? Take what he loves away from him. That makes it more likely. If you give him a chance to rehabilitate himself, there is a significantly better chance that it won't happen again and that the outcome long-term will be better. And in the meantime, Lonzo and I last week predicted that the Browns would make the playoffs next year in 2019. Baker Mayfield, talking exclusively about what this does for them on the football field, Baker Mayfield just got himself one of the top three running backs in the league with elite athletic ability, and Lonzo, an incredible baller.
You know, on one hand, I could be that guy and be, man, I hope he never plays again, because I do believe if Kareem Hunt were playing for the Kansas City Chiefs, they would have played for the Super Bowl and would have had a chance to win the Super Bowl because he's that much of a talent. But I believe in second chances, and someone was going to sign this guy. Someone was going to, and I'm a little shocked that it was Cleveland, but good on Cleveland. And I think they'll keep Chubb too. And what a 1-2 punch that is right there. They were already improving how much they improved last year from the year before. Think of Kareem Hunt on the field. If he can stay on the field and nothing else comes up and he doesn't do anything else stupid, Cleveland's going to be pretty good.
It's funny. Like, I still expect them to crap the bed because they're the Browns. You know, I have to see them make the playoffs before I believe they're not going to blow it. They're the Browns after all. I mean, there's something about that name that is just associated with suckitude, right?
I grew up in Ohio. I know that more than just about anybody. And my best friend in Ohio has been a Cleveland Browns fan his entire life.
Who was it? Sam Weish got on the mic when he was the coach of the Bengals, and he said, "You don't live in Cleveland, you live in Cincinnati."
And that's what the ice ball incident. Right? Yeah,
definitely. There you go. A statement from Cleveland Browns general manager John Dorsey: "We fully understand and respect the complexity of questions and issues in signing a player with Kareem's history and do not condone his actions. Given what we know about Kareem through our extensive research, we believe he deserves a second chance, but certainly with the understanding that he has to go through critical and essential steps to become a performing member of this organization, aside from what the NFL determines from their ongoing investigation. We fully understand that Kareem is subject to discipline by the NFL. Here at the Browns, there is a detailed plan with expectations laid out that he understands and must follow, because any similar incident will not be tolerated. We will support Kareem through this process and utilize our resources, however permitted, to help him become successful on and off the field, as long as he continues to show the commitment necessary to represent this organization." That is very well stated. That is very, very well said by Cleveland general manager John Dorsey. And look, there's a number of people that will disagree with this signing. I respect that opinion. I'm not going to be critical of anyone, just like I wasn't critical of the Eagles, critical of anyone upset that the Eagles signed Michael Vick after all of his involvement with abuse to dogs, right? I specifically remember a sign, Lonzo, that was outside the Link in Philadelphia that read, "Hide your beagle, Vick's an eagle," right? And so, you know, there were many people furious about that, completely and totally upset. And with social media what it is today, many teams are reticent to give guys like this a second chance for the black eye that they're going to take in the community. But based on, you know, again, it comes down to the question, is the hell that you're providing your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or your employer worth the hell that you bring? The Cleveland Browns determined that the heaven he can provide is worth more to them than the hell that comes with him, right? And so they make the decision. What are your overall pluses relative to your minuses? Well, with Kareem Hunt, the minuses are significant, but the pluses are he's a top three running back in the NFL, and he's not even in his prime yet. I mean, it's incredible to consider where this guy is and what he's doing. Lonzo, I know you had a comment on the haircut. We're getting texts on the haircut as well, on the health there text line. For those of you just tuning in, I got the worst haircut of my entire life on Friday. It is a miracle I am still here to talk about it. I was so mortified. I was so mortified that this was even happening. I sat in the chair, frozen in stunned silence, with my eyes as large as oranges for an hour watching what was being done to me. The text line says, if you didn't have the heart to say anything, then why are you complaining and talking about it? You could have stopped him. That's your fault. Listen, bro, I couldn't have stopped him because he shaved it. I'm watching him shave it. Once it's gone, man. You trust your barber. You trust your barber. I'm new here. I don't have an established barber yet. So after I already saw that both sides of my head were gone, there's little I can do about that. Every time I complained about something to him, he spent a lot more time on that area and it looked worse. So I just decided to shut my mouth and to just freeze and to just hope it would be over. Lonzo, what was your question?
Well, before I get to that, there's one thing you could have done. You could have said, you know what? That's exactly what I want. We're good. And then stopped it. Since you're going somewhere else anyway, even if you only have one side shaved and the other side, you could have went somewhere else and maybe they could have fixed it. I saw you tweet this out over the weekend, and I started to take a picture of my shears and post it and say, hey, I'll bring these for you Monday, because you should have shaved the whole thing off. Did you think about that?
Okay, yes. So I get to the other place, and it's a chain, and at this chain that cuts haircuts, the manager says when I walk in, oh, dear God, even before I said anything, she goes, please tell me this didn't happen at one of our locations. I said, yes, ma'am, it did. And she goes to fix my hair. And the first thing she says to me, Lonzo, is this. She says, Mark, I would say let's just go military style, shave the whole thing and just start over. But you can't even do that because the guy shaved a groove in the side of my head, right? Like this guy put a line, a fat line right down the side of my head here. So I present Offsides with Mark and Lonzo to you as a cross between a skinhead and a pothole. Okay, that is what I am today. At least I am not a poofy rooster or a peacock, which I was for about 35 minutes before I was able to get to the next location. All right.
Now see what you should have done. You should have dyed what was left up there red. You should have had them carve ESPN upstate on either side, and it will look like you are just the best employee of all time.
No, I was surprised I didn't get fired when I walked into the office today. Like, this guy clearly doesn't care about being professional. Look at this guy.
The powers that be have no hair, so they can't really say anything about that. That's all I'm saying.
There you go. There you go. That's very well said. All right, coming up next on the show, they made quite an impression this weekend, but was it a good one? We'll tackle that next. I'm Marquise Lonzo. We are Offsides right here on ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark and Lonzo right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy Monday to you guys. It is an overreaction Monday, and of course, there's a lot to overreact about this morning. The sports world gave us a cornucopia of topics to get to on this particular day. I'm not going to let the cat completely out of the bag, but I'm going to have an upcoming remote show in which I'm going to be able to be on with the Rise guys are going to be on with me for a little bit. And I'm really, really excited about that. I also, you know, Rise guys, one of the best shows in our entire area here, right? Stop making kissy faces.
That's
Lonzo.
What you're doing. You're kissing up to them.
Listen,
they don't need your love, okay? Listen, they've got plenty on their own. They're fine.
Well, there's no harm in calling a spade a spade. They're one of the best shows on radio in this area.
It sounds like new period. Guy reading something he was told to read about
Do you
them.
See that written down anywhere up here? Do you see that written down anywhere? Anyway.
Small print right over
they
there.
They do a great job, Lonzo. And it's okay to tell people they do a great job, okay? They on their show today, they either an emailer asked them this but I thought it was interesting. They said, if your car broke down at 3 a.m, right? If your car broke down at 3 a.m, who are you calling to come pick you up? Right. And like here in this particular area, Lonzo, I wouldn't have anybody to call at 3 a.m. if my car broke down. I honestly don't know what I would do if my car broke down at 3 a.m. Like, it's a really interesting
question. By the
question.
Way, you could call me. I mean, you know, all that.
You wouldn't
that,
answer.
Yeah, well, probably
you
my phone is off, but you could try. You know, the off chance that I'm up going to the restroom or something. I am old. You know, old people have to do that two or three times a night. So I might see that my phone's going off.
So there's multiple facets to think about here. Number one, who would actually come get you at that time? And number two, who would answer their phone, right? I would be fine calling somebody that didn't like me that much if I thought they would answer. Like if I knew it was a night owl. Just last week, Lonzo, my smoke alarm at 11 p.m. started doing that beeping thing like the battery was low. Like I had incinerated some pork on my stove and it set the smoke alarm off in my place, right? And then after the smoke alarm went off, not only was I penalized with the smoke alarm, but now the battery's dying. Oh, great. So I had to call emergency maintenance at 11 p.m. for a battery change that I could not reach. I could not reach. It was way up on the ceiling. I had no way to get up there, right? So the guy's furious, and he comes out there. He's none too happy. He lets me know that I got him out of bed, right? But, you know, I just said, look, man, if you didn't come out, I was going to cut the wires on this thing, okay? Because I wouldn't get any sleep with that thing beeping every minute, right? I wouldn't get any sleep. So, you know, who comes and gets you, Lonzo? Can you call the missus at 3 a.m.? I mean, to come get you on the side of the road? I don't know the answer to that, who I would call. Would I call our boss, Mark Hendricks? Mark, if you're listening, would you pick me up from the side of the road at 3 a.m.?
See, that's the thing. Yes, he would.
Really?
Yeah, he would do that. And, you know, I have several people I would call in the building because I used to, I produced a morning show for like, I think 14 or 15 years. So there was the opportunity that I could have broken down around that time. And yes, my wife would come and get me. My son would come and get me. I have some people around here who actually would come. Even some people who don't like me would come and get me, especially if they had to work in place of me. So
I know who I would call in my former stomping grounds in Houston. I know whom I would call in Florida. I don't have anybody that I feel like I could call here.
Let me explain something. Okay, a while back, a couple years ago, we had an ice storm that was so bad that people couldn't get to work. Where I live, I couldn't get up my hill. I just couldn't get up the hill because I would have drove if I could have got on the road. My boss at the time, who you met, Bob McClain, was my boss at the time. He came and got me to bring me to work, but didn't give me a way to get back home. He didn't care once I got here. He thought it was hilarious. So he got me to work. So I worked all day and had to figure out how to get back home. So what I'm saying is they want you to work. So they'll find a way to get you here.
They'll pick me up at 3 a.m. Yes. And they'll bring me right to work.
Because they're not going to take you home. Exactly.
That way you won't be late on Monday morning. We'll just keep you here from Sunday morning at 3 a.m. to Monday morning at 9 a.m. And keep it real, Mark. Keep it real.
Think of all the work you could be caught up on if you did that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It made an impression on you over this weekend. I was really struck by the impression that the Alliance of American Football made on many, many people over this weekend, Lonzo. Very, very, very struck by that. And so I posted the question on Twitter at Mark Ryan on air. That's at MARC Ryan on air. Most likely to survive the Alliance of American Football or the XFL. And I think because people know this is Vince McMahon and he's determined and he's hell bent to make this work because it's the one kind of black mark on his resume that the XFL and his XFL failed. And we know the WWE and we know Vince McMahon. So it's easy to say the XFL is going to be the one that succeeds. And I say to that, I'll channel my inner Lee Corso and say, not so fast, my friend. The best thing that the Alliance of American Football has done with four opening games this weekend is they've earned a programming partnership with the NFL. And when I saw this, my mind was absolutely blown, ladies and gentlemen, absolutely blown. They're airing games for the Alliance of American Football on the NFL Network. Are you kidding me? In the past, the NFL has justifiably ignored other leagues. Because why would you promote a league that can take market share away from you? So here's what Bill Polian and Mr. Ebersol did involved with the Alliance of American Football that has been so good, that has been so helpful. They've gone to the NFL and said, look, we're not trying to compete with you. eventually we would like to build this relationship to the point where we are a feeder system for you in the NFL. And so the NFL, I can't even believe this. I was more shocked about this than anything that I've seen in recent memory. The NFL is airing football games from an unaffiliated league on its own network. When the NFL comes out and says, we have no partnership, we just have a programming partnership. That's what the NFL's saying. Folks, do you realize how significant this is? The NFL, by doing this, is de facto saying that the AAF is going to be their minor league. They wouldn't air them on the NFL network if they didn't believe that. Plus, they also hate Vince McMahon, and they want to stick it to Vince McMahon in any way possible. So the NFL, you want the shield on your side, right? The NFL is the shield. You want the NFL on your side. You need the NFL on your side. And for the NFL to put these games on its own network, folks, you've already got the answer. I'm not going to predict that the XFL is going to fail today. They've got a commitment from Bob Stoops that's massive, right? They're going to do things differently this time. I think in the era of social media, it has a chance to be successful. But the AAF is more likely to succeed because the NFL is in bed with them in some way. They say no. The NFL says no, we're not. There's no strategic partnership. It's just a programming partnership. But for them to air the Alliance of American Football on the NFL network tells me that the NFL is looking at the AAF as its minor league. Lonzo, I got to see. I was having dinner at Mark Sturgis's house last night. Godspeed, Mark Sturgis. Hope to see you back doing shows with us here as ASAP as soon as you're ready, my friend. But we were watching the Birmingham game last night. I was struck by the enthusiasm of the crowd. I was struck by the hard hits. I was struck by the fast-paced play. I was struck by the name players that they had playing. Trent Richardson was the starting running back for Birmingham. I'll watch Trent Richardson, right? I'll tell you, Lonzo, between that and, you know, the Orlando Apollos, and that was basically a Florida-Georgia college football game in Florida. True to form, kicks Georgia's ass up and down the field. All right. Steve Spurrier spoke to this and, spoke to his Orlando Apollos dominating the first game in the Alliance of American Football.
Okay. Good win for the Apollos. Guys played pretty well. Defense was super after the first drive or so. They stayed on the field a little bit. And then I think that touchdown right before the end of the first half sort of gave us some breathing room. And then defense took over and we sputtered a little bit offensively, but Garrett threw a lot of good balls. Receivers caught just about everything, and we got some guys open. It's always good to see guys open, and so it's a good win for us.
Good win for us. Yeah.
See, a lot of people around here are still upset about Spurrier when he quit halfway through the season for the Gamecocks, and I'm still kind of angry about that too. But football needs Spurrier in it.
Totally.
I recorded that game and watched it because I knew it was in the middle. I was on air during the time, so I wanted to see it and be able to just take my time and watch it and break it down to look at the quality of football, the coaching, all that kind of stuff.
And what'd you think?
It was amazing just watching again. I love seeing Spurrier on the sideline, and he was mic'd up. So you get to hear him talk.
And he says, tell him to catch it this time.
Yeah,
did you hear that?
Yeah, that was great. The football was pretty good once it got going. It's just like the NFL in the beginning, the first couple games of every season are a little bit choppy. Somewhere in the second quarter, things started clicking and things started looking good, especially for the Apollos. Georgia, not so much. And Garrett Gilbert, who I'd seen when he was in Panther camp, I was curious to see what he would do. Once he started going, passing was crisp. The running game was good. The defense was killer. And the one thing that I didn't like, and this is something that you want to see happen that you've mentioned on the show before, was no kickoffs. I miss the kickoffs, man.
So here are the kickoffs. Here are the rules. Here are the differences in the rules. And some of these are actually really creative that I've never thought of before. Instead of kickoffs, which the league decided would slow the game down and create too many injuries, the ball will simply start on the 25-yard line after each score or at the beginning of the half. Okay. Instead of kicking an extra point, teams have to attempt a two-point conversion after every touchdown. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, that was great.
If you're going to do that, just have it worth 1 point, right? If you're going to do that, make the two-point conversion worth 1 point that teams have to go for. Onside kicks, which don't work anymore because of the new safety rules, you're not allowed to load a side of the field to one side. You have to have an equal number of people. Onside kicks have gone from a 1-3 proposition to a 10% proposition in football generally. They've been replaced by an onside conversion. Now check this out. If a team is trailing by 17 points or there are 5 minutes or less left in the fourth quarter, they can opt to get the ball on their own 28-yard line and try to convert a 4th-and-12. That is so random. That is so random, but it's awesome. Like, you get the ball back even after you scored instead of an onside kick if you're down by 17 points or if there are 5 minutes left in the game. You get the ball 4th-and-12 from your own 28-yard line. One play. You convert it, you keep the ball. There's no TV timeouts and fewer full-screen commercials. There will be a sky judge referee who can communicate with the officials on the field in real time so the refs don't have to go under that stupid hood that they do in the NFL, which I love. In overtime, each team will get the ball at the opposing 10-yard line. Love it! They'll have one possession to score a touchdown, then attempt a two-point conversion. The game will end in a tie if neither team scores. Oh, I don't like the tie. Keep going until somebody wins, please. Neither team scores. Well, you can kick a field goal, right? They have one possession to score a touchdown. Maybe you can't kick a field goal in the overtime. I don't know. Each player in the league signed the same deal, 3 years for $250,000, which is $73,000 a year. No, I'm sorry. My math is way off there. $83,000 a year. And there's an opt-out that you can opt out with no penalty if the NFL comes calling during the season. See this? They're massaging that relationship with the NFL. They're going for that relationship with the NFL to be the NFL's minor league, and that's the right strategy. That's what you should be doing. Don't compete with something you can't beat, right? Establish the relationship with the NFL and build that relationship over a period of time. Coming up next, I'm told this is a controversial observation, but can observations truly be controversial? It's a segment I probably shouldn't do, and I'm going to do it anyway, and it's next, right here on Offsides with Mark and Lonzo, ESPN Upstate.
The two coaches will shake hands. They never trailed in this game. Dominated from outside the arc, played good defense, and Duke has knocked off Virginia in Charlottesville 81-71.
And Duke beats Virginia number 2 versus number 3 81-71 on Saturday. Duke moves to 21-2, Virginia falls to 20-2. I find Virginia to be kind of frauds, you know, that they're first of all the only team that's ever lost as a number 1 seed, and not only did they lose as the number 1 seed, they lost as the number 1 overall seed in the tournament last year. That's one of those you'll always remember where you were when you saw it moments. And I witnessed that at a bar in Houston, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I absolutely couldn't believe what I was seeing in that particular game. And do we have that? Do we flip up the ones there, Alonzo? Do we have the Zion Williamson?
Yes, I had dyslexia on the
No problem. Let's hear what Zion did in the game here.
Bolden, hands off to Barrett, step back three, off the back of the iron, no good. Oh. Williamson the rebound, in the corner to Jones, and they'll reset.
Can't afford that if you're Virginia. They don't trap much, they don't press much, you get a miss, you got to rebound it.
Here's Cam Reddish, nice pass inside to Williamson for the two-hand flush.
Well, the offensive rebound there changes the whole complexion of this last minute and a half.
Zion Williamson, total freaking beast. Love watching that guy. And you know why he's going to be great? Here's the best trait that Zion Williams has, okay? The best trait that he has is that he wants it, is his passion, right? You've seen guys with his, Zion Williamson, you've seen guys with his level of athleticism before. You've seen guys with his level of ability before. But he's so passionate about the game, and that passion will lead to great work ethic, will lead to him being great, right? Because he has all the requisite talent, speed, height, jumping ability, etc. He's got all of that. His best quality is his passion. Had 18 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists in the game on Saturday. So here's my observation, okay? I once saw a video of Charles Barkley speaking to a classroom of people. And a kid asked him, okay, why are there so many African-American players in the NBA? And Charles answered it, I'm going to try to be as close to verbatim as possible. He said, in my opinion, African-American players are better than white guys. They're better players than white guys. They're better basketball players than white guys. That's my opinion. I don't know if I was the only one who thought this, but I just watched, and you've heard of the eye test, right? In college football, the eye test means how good a team looks when they're playing, right? Their level of dominance while they're playing. For me, on Saturday, watching Duke and Virginia, the eye test took place before the game, before the ball was even tipped. I saw that Virginia had 3 smallish white guys. Duke had none. And I thought to myself, I don't see Virginia winning this game. I'm sorry. I don't see Virginia winning this game. And I was wondering to myself, okay, can I even come on the air with this? Can I even say this? I'm sure there's other people who have the same observation that I did. I said to myself, I bet you Duke is going to out-athlete Virginia this entire game. And that's exactly what happened. And Virginia lost by 10 points. They lost by 10 points. The eye test told me that Virginia wasn't going to beat Duke. I could see it before the ball was even tipped. And I was right. I was right. Folks, you know, there are people that will call you a racist just for having takes like I'm having right now. What I'm about to share with you is factual. There has never been a white gold medal champion in the 100-meter dash in the Olympics. There's never been. You can explore the why to that if you want, but it's factual. It never happens, okay? There is not one starting cornerback in the National Football League that is white. Oh, listen to this racist host. No, that's factual. This is absolutely factual. African-American people make up 14% of the U.S. population, 74% of the NBA. Explain that to me. Is Charles Barkley right? Am I right? I think the answer is obviously yes, right? So in the NBA, in 2015, the NBA was composed of 74.4% African-American players, 23% white players, 1.8% Latino players, and 0.2% Asian players. Folks, you know, if you just have an observation and that observation happens to be factually accurate, what exactly is the problem with that observation? Your thoughts on this are welcome at 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN. So I thought I would take this to the next level. And some people in the building might be saying, no, please don't. I thought I would take this to the next level and ask this question. And I've actually done this segment before. If you comprised a team of the best white American players in the NBA, how good would they be? What would their record be? Okay? Because I did this research before the show today, and here is your starting five. So these are NBA players, and I'm going to share with you my starting five in terms of my NBA team. And I'm allowed nothing but white American players. How good would this team be in the NBA? Point guard TJ McConnell. Shooting guard J.J. Redick. Small forward Gordon Hayward. Power forward Kevin Love. Center Zach Collins. That's my all-white American starting five in the NBA today. TJ McConnell, backup point guard for the Sixers. J.J. Redick, starting shooting guard. Gordon Hayward, I don't know if he's starting or coming off the bench. I think Brad Stevens rotates that in Boston. Kevin Love, all-star power forward. He's kind of the no-brainer on this list, but he's injured right now. And then Zach Collins, a center out of Gonzaga, plays for the Portland Trailblazers. Now, here's my bench. I have Kyle Korver. I have Cody Zeller. I have Ryan Anderson. I have Luke Kennard. I have Chandler Parsons. I have Doug McDermott. And I have Ron Baker. Okay? That's my bench. But by and large, TJ McConnell, JJ Redick, Gordon Hayward, Kevin Love, and Zach Collins, how many games is that team winning in the NBA? Does that team make the playoffs in the NBA? Let's just have an honest discussion about it, shall we? Let's just be honest. Let's be open. How many games does that team win, Lonzo?
How many times do they play Cleveland?
Three.
Well, they'll win all three of those because you're taking Kevin Love off of that team. I think they could beat Cleveland. I think there's a couple teams they could beat. Yes.
There's a couple teams.
Yeah,
they,
for
so
sure.
So you're spinning this positively. Okay.
Well, yeah, J.J. Redick, he's awesome. Kevin Love, when he's not injured in the top of his game, he's a very good player. Some of those bench guys I've never heard of before, I got to be honest.
I will give you the record for this team. I will give you the record. Here is their record, 29-53, which might be better than what you think. But I don't think they're a playoff team. Okay. Maybe a maximum, games one would be 35-47 might be the record. Okay. TJ McConnell, if this is your all white American starting five, it's TJ McConnell, JJ Redick, Gordon Hayward, Kevin Love, and Zach Collins. That's your all white American starting five. And I don't believe that team, as constructed, is good enough to make the playoffs. They're good enough to win some games. You have a semi-decent bench, right? But I don't think this team has what it takes to make the playoffs, right? And these are, and here's the reality. The best white players in the NBA are European, right? Dirk Nowitzki for many years, Luka Doncic now, right? The best white players in the NBA. And Mark Cuban speaks to this. He's like, man, we're in the AAU circuit learning how to do N1 mixtapes. And they're out in Slovenia, learning actually how to play basketball. They're actually learning the fundamentals of the game. So in any way, I'm not surprised if none of you want to touch this particular subject. But I think if you have an observation that is based in fact, right? And what I felt when I saw Duke take the court against Virginia, and my feeling was, yeah, I don't really see Virginia winning this game. And then I was right. And then I'm doing the research, and I know that African-American people make up 14%, an amazing 14% of our population, and 74% of NBA players are African-American. Is Charles Barkley right? Folks, isn't the answer a resounding yes? Wasn't I on to something when I had that feeling, when I had that observation that Virginia wasn't going to beat Duke, and that this is why that Virginia hasn't beaten Duke either of the two times they've played this season? It's factually accurate, folks. Yeah, I don't think people can be upset about facts. I don't think people can yell at you about facts. I just don't. I really don't think they can do that. All right. Coming up next, we will recap some of the biggest news of the day. You are listening to Offsides right here with Mark and Lonzo on ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark and Lonzo right here on ESPN Upstate. It is great to be with you guys on a Monday edition of the program. Look, Duke is fantastic. Duke is fantastic. Jay Billis speaks to this as well. Looking at the top seeds overall in college basketball right now, it's really interesting to look at who the NCAA committee likes in terms of making it all the way. And as of today, the tournament has the committee, the selection committee has the tournament seated as follows. Let's see here. We've got Duke number one. Well, I bring this up and then all of a sudden it goes away. Okay, we've got Duke number one, Gonzaga number one, Tennessee number one, and Virginia number one. Four overall top seeds. The two seeds are Michigan, North Carolina, Michigan State, and Kentucky. The three seeds are Marquette, Kansas, Purdue, and Houston. Go Cougars there, man. And then the four seeds are Iowa State, Louisville, Nevada, and Wisconsin. Are your top 16 overall seeds in the tournament if the tournament started today? A lot of bubble teams, man. My alma mater keeps being in the tournament in all these projections. Florida, they're 12-11. They don't deserve to be in the tournament. Every time Florida plays a legit team, they get run off the court, just like we did this weekend at number one, Tennessee. But, you know, Jay Billis of ESPN speaks to the fact that he feels a few teams are separating themselves from the pack.
Jay, the scores sort of are similar, and yet because of the three-point shooting, we saw vastly different games. What did you see when you called this thing?
Yeah, in the first game, John, that you mentioned, Duke was able to get straight-line drives and score in the paint. And they did it getting to the rim, getting to the free-throw line. In the second game, Virginia really packed the paint with that pack-line defense, and they kept Duke from getting those drives and getting in. Duke got some things in transition, but really what happened was they knocked down threes like crazy. 8 of 11 from three-point range in the first half for Duke. They wound up hitting 13 for the game. Just a remarkable shooting performance. Virginia played well enough to win. They played well enough on the offensive end to win, but Duke just made too many shots, and they were big shots. Duke does such a good job on the offensive end of getting the ball into the lane and getting to the rim. Virginia took that totally away. But it was just an extraordinary performance from Duke to knock down 13 threes. I don't think anybody anticipated that.
So Virginia's got 20 wins against everybody and their own two against Duke. What should I make of the Cavaliers? Because I want to say, okay, so there's one team they can't beat, but the rest of them, you know, what do I think of the Cavs?
They are Final Four worthy. They're Final Four good. This is a team that's only lost, what, three games in the last 2 years in ACC play. Two of those have been to Duke. Last year, they lost to Virginia Tech here at the John Paul Jones Arena, and that's it. And nobody else has beaten them. They are legit, and they're Final Four good, but so's Duke. I mean, two of the top four teams in the country are in the ACC, and then another one that's ranked in the top eight, North Carolina. This is going to be a dogfight down the stretch to see who wins the ACC championship. But more importantly, you got two teams in Virginia and Duke that legitimately can win the whole thing and are favorites to get to Minneapolis.
There you have it. The words of Jay Billis on whom he sees making it all the way to the Final Four. I also want to let you know that tomorrow on the show, a guest that Lonzo cannot contain his excitement over, Mandy Rose of the WWE, is set to be joining us tomorrow. What's the time on that interview, Lonzo?
2:20.
2:20. Of course, he has that memorized. He also has it written in his diary. 2:20 tomorrow, Lonzo with Mandy Rose.
Yeah, right after I hate Mark Ryan. I hate Mark. Okay, go ahead.
There you go. What is that? The Bart Simpson chalkboard that you're writing on there? I will not do this. I will not do that. So Mandy Rose of WWE. Look, you guys know I have no background with wrestling whatsoever. I don't watch it. I don't watch it because I'm a man, and that's why I don't watch it. And that's really all that needs to be said.
We'll see if you say this to her tomorrow.
Okay, no, I'm not saying this to her tomorrow. Of course not. I appreciate Mandy Rose coming on. We're going to have a spirited interview. I have no idea where the interview is going to go. I have no idea what direction it's going to turn. I know that Lonzo is going to be heavily involved, and I know that she's a superstar and a celebrity, and we're looking forward to bringing the interview to you tomorrow. So Mandy Rose will join us at 3 p.m. at 2:20 tomorrow. At 2:20 tomorrow, Mandy Rose will be joining us. Lonzo is looking offended by that. Look, this guy's unbelievable. All right, it is a breaking news Monday. Lots of breaking news over the course of the show today. We will reveal that to you. Plus, is Clemson handling this situation correctly? All in the top three at three coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.